Thank you for coming to church today. The title of the message today is Godly Heritage. Now, if you're a part of First Wesleyan Church, you know we've been going through the Gospel of John, but I'm jumping away from the Gospel of John today, and I want to preach a message on godly heritage. Now, today is Father's Day, and I am thankful for my dad. I was able to call him already this morning and wish him a happy Father's Day, and I hope that you're thankful for your dad as well. Everybody thankful for your dad? Okay, good. If you are a dad in the room, you're incredible. Thank you for being an incredible person. I am so thankful for dads. Dads set the stage. Dads set the course. Your influence or lack thereof makes a difference for eternity. And so if you're a dad within this room, take that role seriously. Be that person. Our fathers have taught us a number of things. They've guided us. They've provided for us. Our dads are super important. Now, I know there are some men in the room that haven't had children yet or haven't been able to have children for whatever reason. And I also know that there are some men in the room that your children are out of their home. But you all as men are important. And I know that in preaching this message, there are some of you that have a hard time in understanding a loving heavenly father because of your dad. And your dad was not very kind. I thought of some other adjectives to describe your dad, and maybe your dad was hateful and mean and absent. Maybe he was a jerk. Maybe he was a drunk. Maybe he didn't provide. Maybe your dad wasn't around. And I could go on describing a couple other negative connotations, but I probably don't need to do that. But some of you have had a godly example of a dad. And you, as you sit in your chair, are like, you should just leave being thankful. I mean, if you've had a godly dad, your dad probably wasn't perfect. My dad's not perfect. I am not perfect. I'm perfect most of the time, but not all of the time. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not perfect all the time. So I know many of you have a hard time understanding that, but no, I'm not. But if you are a man, or if you had a dad that tried to follow after the Lord, what a privilege that you have been given. And if you're a man that's trying to follow after the Lord, that's wonderful. Your dad, I hope, encouraged you. He probably disciplined you, and hopefully it was a discipline in love. But discipline is important. And some of your dads are possibly even teaching you now. And we have a Heavenly Father. And if you don't know the Heavenly Father, please know our Heavenly Father who loves each and every one of us so very much. And it's in 1 John chapter 3. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And so know that if you follow after Christ, you can be called a child of God. Today, I want to talk about godly heritage. Now, there are a couple of things that some of you are immediately going to identify. This is a Father's Day message, but yet I think all of us can apply this. First of all, some of you are not men in the room. I get that. I truly believe Scripture, in a day and age where there's a lot of confusion or a lot of directed comments of confusion, God made male and female. And I understand there are some of you in the room that are not male. And that's an okay thing. That's great, all right? And so you might say, well, how is this going to apply to me? I think the biblical passage will apply to you. And some of you in the room are men and not dads, and I still think it can apply to you. And you may not identify with all the heritage of the verses, but why not start it today? There's a phrase that I was thinking about a Father's Day message and leaving from the book of John. I thought, what should I preach on Father's Day? And there's a phrase that appears over and over and over in the Bible. And I thought, why is that there? And what does that mean? And so here is the phrase. It's actually in Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, one of the times it is. And you can follow along in your Bible. I'm going to be using a number of different scriptures today, as well as you can follow along in your Bible. But here's what it says. I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. That phrase appears time and time and time again in God's Word. The first time that is recorded actually doesn't include all three names. It actually appears to Isaac first, is who it appears to. It says this in Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. And the Lord appeared to him, this is to Isaac, and the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and will bless you, and will multiply your offspring for your servant Abraham's sake. Now, where did this come from? This actually came from Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. And God is telling this to Abraham at this point in time. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Then, in Genesis chapter 28, a few years later, we just read it in just a couple chapters, but a few years later, we see this mentioned to Jacob. Here's what it says to Jacob. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. So then, the first time we see all of these three together, or is in Exodus chapter 3, God's talking with Moses. And here they are all put together in Exodus chapter 3, our second book of the Bible, verse 6. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. This phrase is shared around 25 times in our Bible. It's significant. If you've been in church, you've heard this phrase, I'm assuming somewhere along the way, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what does this have to do with Father's Day? I believe that we have all been called to follow after God. So are you an Abraham, an Isaac, or a Jacob? Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob? Well, I'm not a dad. It'll apply to you somewhere along the way. What does the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob symbolize? Well, let me say this. This phrase begins with people, individuals, you and me. Abraham was a man. Isaac was a man. Jacob was a man. They're not just some ghost-like figures, but God used men. And I am thankful that God uses people. He didn't have to, but he uses us. Each one of us. So there are three things that I came up with of what it symbolizes, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The first thing is heritage. Heritage. What's been passed on from your father to you? You and I, some of us, carry the exact representation of our fathers, and we look like our dads. Some of you are like, I really didn't want to do that. I saw my dad, and I saw him at age 60, and I really don't want to look like my dad at age 60. Some of you of ladies have said that about your mom. Oh, I don't want to have to look like my mother. No, please, no. Some of us as men are like, I sure hope I keep a lot more of my hair than my dad did. Boy, by the time he was 40, it was like nothing there. We have physical characteristics that is part of our heritage. Somewhere along the way, I realized I had my dad's hands. My hands looked like my dad's. Well, how does that happen? Well, I'm his son. That makes sense. Some of us are about the same height as our dads. Some of us are not. I think I've mentioned this before. My dad is 5'6", and my mom is 5'2". I'm like the giant in the family, and we have physical characteristics. Some of you, your eyebrows are the same as your dad's. I mean, weird, but it's like, yeah, you got your dad's eyebrows. Oh, you got your dad's eyes. And here's another thing that's interesting about heritage and physical characteristics. I was a youth pastor in Sioux Falls for some time at Linwood Wesleyan Church, and there was a pastor there. His name is Bill Canaan. He's actually an uncle of Dave Canaan, who serves at Fountain Springs here in town. Bill Canaan is a very light, complected, his skin is very light and blonde, and he and his wife were unable to have children, and they had went like through 12 miscarriages, some crazy number. It was just very difficult for the family, and so they adopted two children. One of those they adopted from Romania, Well, if you've ever seen somebody from Romania, it's not light and fair skinned. Well, at least she wasn't. She's very dark. And then their son, who Bill must be about 5'10", their son is 6'4", and he's good size. He's got broad shoulders. And it was interesting as I watched, Andrew had those mannerisms like his dad. You know that about kids. Some kids, you know, the way they tilt their head as they talk, you're like, that's just like your dad. How's that? Or the way they move their hands is like, that's just heritage. As much as some of you don't wish this upon yourself, some of you are like your dad. You laugh like your dad. Like, whoo, you know, and who has that laugh? You and your dad. The heritage that we have is important. Some of you have the heritage of a work ethic like your dad. Your dad is a hard worker. Your dad instilled in you to be a hard worker. Your dad was at work every day at 8 and he came home at 5 or whatever, and that's what you did. Why? Because that's what dad did. Now, some of you don't work very hard because your dad did all the work and he never passed it on to you. Those characteristics. We have a worldview because of our dads. What does our dads understand? We have understandings of alcohol from our dads. We have understanding of grades from our dads. Some of you, when you were in school, a D is not so far from the top of the alphabet. I mean, you didn't get an S. Why was the big deal of getting a D here, you know? And dad said, we're going to have a different viewpoint here. We shouldn't have one of those Ds. Well, again, it's not a U. I didn't get a U or a V. But dad had a different understanding. Your idea of sports from your dad. Some of you are very sports-minded because your dad and you would be involved in sports together. Not a bad thing. Some of you don't care about sports whatsoever because of your dad. We also have a spiritual heritage from our fathers. Some of those have been very good. Some of those have been a challenge. Some of us have a great heritage. We remember the person who was the rock for us. Maybe it was your dad or your grandpa. And if so, and if he's already passed already, you miss his wisdom and his direction and his help. If your dad is still living, you can trust him because he trusts in God. And he may not know everything, but he's one that will say, let me pray for you on that. Let me think about that. Let me help you with that. There's something about that heritage that is very important. Men, every man in the room, there is something about when a man trusts God. There's enough vile and evil that is in our world that if we stand for righteousness, I think it makes a change in our world. There's enough laziness, deceit, mischievousness, apathy, lethargy, pride, lust, anger, and foul language that comes from a lot of men. Men, don't do that. Be men that stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not be one that has the heritage that they love the Lord with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength? Now again, this can apply to ladies as well. Maybe you come from a heritage that is so godly. You look to that person who is ahead of you, who was your dad or your grandpa, and like they looked at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you say, oh, did these men do everything correctly? By no means. Abraham did not. Isaac did not, Jacob did not, but they continued to serve God. There's a verse in Romans that talks about Abraham. I love the verse. And here's what it says in the ESV. It says, in hope, he, being Abraham, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. I love what the NIV says, and here's what the NIV says. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. I love that phrase. Against all hope, he believed that it could happen. If you're a man in the room, even when there doesn't seem to be any more hope, you say, I'm going to continue to hope because I hope in God Almighty. And there may be something in your life right now, man, who you say, you say yes to Jesus Christ, and you hope, and you continue to believe in that. And I believe that he will credit to you as righteousness. Abraham was an ordinary man who did extraordinary things. Just read in my devotions this morning, Psalm chapter 71, verse 14. I thought it was good, and it spoke to my heart. Maybe it'll speak to yours. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. May each of us be individuals in this room that will hope continually and praise God more and more. May we not grow weary or fearful or watered down, but we'll say, continue to say yes to Jesus. Why does God identify himself in this way? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think he's giving credibility to who he is and how he has shown himself in the past. But then he wants us each to go further. What will be said? This is the question I have for myself as well as you fathers in the room. What will be said of my heritage as a dad? What's going to be said of my heritage? What's going to be said of your heritage? Again, it's not just a dad in the room. Everyone in here, what's going to be said of your heritage? I don't want to say my name because I don't want to be prideful and I don't want to be up front, but I'm up front, so I'll just say, the God of Steve. Do you serve the God of Steve? I mean, that just sounds, what? I mean, you can say it about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but don't say it about my name. But yet God used men and he used women. Why not use you? What will your heritage be? There's a song that cites these words. When the music fades into the past, when the days of life are through, what will be remembered of where I've come when all is said and done? Will they say I loved my family, that I was a faithful friend, that I lived to tell of God's own son when all is said and done? Oh, how I long to see the hour when I would hear the trumpet sound so I could rise and see my Savior's face and see him smile and say, well done. You can forget my name and the songs I've sung, every rhyme and every tune, but remember the truth of Jesus' love when all is said and done. Will that be said of you, of your heritage? Or are they going to say, oh, Steve, he really liked the Los Angeles Lakers? I can enjoy the Los Angeles Lakers, but if that is said more than my love for Jesus Christ, then I miss it. If that's said of you, then I think we miss it. What do you want of your heritage? The second thing I see is generation. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can be yours today as well. The quote from Exodus chapter 3, verse 6 to Moses, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob have been dead a long time, but they were in the generation. Can this be said of you? May this be said of you. We look to people in the past and we gain insight from them, from the generations. We read history. Some of you have done the little sketch of see who you were related to, and you found out you're related to George Washington or somebody famous, or then you found out you were related to somebody you didn't want to be related to, so you stopped that search. But we look to history to see who we're related to, the generations. May the generations be ones that they can, when they come back to us, they say, that person, that man, that lady was a God-fearing person. Each of these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, listened and heard God's call on their life individually. It wasn't just like, well, I'm Jacob, and that's my dad, Isaac, and my grandpa, Abraham. I have to do this because, well, they... I just have to do it. What a bummer. But they fall. No, God called them individually like he calls you. And as the scripture says, the sins are affected to the third and fourth generation. But what happens to the people who love the Lord? It's affected to 1,000 generations. Dads, be those ones. You might say, well, I'm not a dad. Okay? So there's other people around you that are watching you. Why not be that one for someone else? In Deuteronomy 1, verse 8, we see again this phrase. God is talking to Joshua, and here's what he says. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. And then in Luke, Mary gives a song, and the song she identifies Abraham and his legacy in Luke 1:55. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to our offspring, spring forever. So I asked the question, what if there was no Abraham? Would God have used somebody else? Very likely, I'm not sure, but I do know there was an Abraham, just like I know there is a Steve, and I know that there's a you. And so because of you, may God do something in your life. While walking through the forest one day, a man found a young eagle who had fallen out of its nest. He took it home and he put it in his barnyard where it soon learned to eat and behave like the chickens. One day a naturalist passed by the farm and asked, why was the fact that the king of all birds should be confined to live in the barnyard with the chickens? The farmer replied that since he had given it chicken feed and trained it to be a chicken, it had never learned to fly. Since it now behaved as the chickens, it was no longer an eagle. The naturalist said, still, it has the heart of an eagle and can surely be taught to fly. He lifted the eagle toward the sky and said, you belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly. The eagle, however, was confused. He did not know who he was, and seeing the chickens eating their food, jumped down to be with them again. The naturalist, he took the bird to the roof of the house and urged him, saying, you are an eagle, stretch forth your wings and fly. But the eagle was afraid of his unknown self and world and jumped down once more for the chicken food. Finally, the naturalist took the eagle out of the barnyard to a high mountain. There he held the king of the birds high above him and stretched him again, saying, you are an eagle. You belong to the sky. Stretch forth your wings and fly. The eagle looked around, back towards the barnyard and up to the sky. Then the naturalist lifted him straight towards the sun, and it happened that the eagle began to tremble. Slowly he stretched his wings and with a triumphant cry, soared away into the heavens. It may be that the eagle still remembers the chickens with nostalgia. It may even be that he may occasionally revisit the barnyard. But as far as anyone knows, he has never returned to lead the life of a chicken. Be like the eagle and soar. Here's what Romans says. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. If you're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ or you're neglecting your relationship with God, let me tell you, the scripture says you were predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, every one of us. And because of that, don't be a chicken, but be an eagle and soar. Sometimes we miss out on life because we're not living the life God has called us to do. Be an eagle and soar. What do you want to be said of you, of the generations following after you, whether it be biologically or those that go through a cemetery sometime and look and say, oh, Steve Selfridge, I wonder what kind of life he lived. May it be said of you that you followed after Christ. So the third thing I saw in this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a threefold ownership. It's interesting, it's three people, three men. Will you be one of those? What should we pass on to our kids? If you're a dad in this room, please hear me for the next couple of moments. Are you reading the Bible with your children? Are you praying with your children? Are you getting your children to church? I believe every man who is a father in this room, and myself included, it makes me a little nervous at times, but I believe we're going to be held accountable for how we've responded as a dad. Be a godly dad. Get your children to church. Read the Bible with them. Pray for them. If you're a man in this room who is a father of some children who are out of the home, pray for your kids. Write them a note even today and say, I just want to let you know, I'm not the perfect dad, but I want to let you know I'm praying for you. And thank you for those of you dads who do that. You pray for your children. You wonder maybe what's happening in their lives as a child, as an adult child. And you hear some things in their voice from time to time, and you're like, oh, I wonder what's going on. And you just stop in that moment and you say, God, would you be with my son? Would you be with my daughter, whatever their name is? And God hears that prayer. And so know that you serve a valuable role. Why did it stop with these three? God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I mean, Jacob became Israel, who was the dad of the 12 tribes of Israel. Why didn't it say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the sons of Israel, which would be then Joseph? Why does it say these three? I'm not sure exactly. One is said, he mentions them because the promise of the Messiah was made to them. Dads, moms, kids, think of the power behind following after Christ for the next generation. Are you willing to sacrifice it for the one who is faithful to you? Where are you in the rundown? Where are you in the rundown? Are you an Abraham? Are you an Isaac? Are you a Jacob? Which one are you? Begin to think of my own life. I didn't share this in first service because I don't want to put pressure upon my own boys. But my father, and I encouraged him in this way today when I talked to him. My father is an Abraham. My grandfather did not know the Lord unless he passed away and he knew him before. My grandfather didn't serve the Lord. He may have accepted him towards the end of his life. I'm not sure. But my dad at age 17 said, I'm going to serve and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my dad is Abraham. He's the one who said, I'm going to start this and I'm going to make this happen. And my dad, I appreciate that from my dad, being willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I view myself as kind of an Isaac. I'm kind of the next guy in line. And I want to serve God faithfully. And again, I don't want to put pressure on my boys unbeknownst. I mean, maybe they'll talk about that after church today. I don't know. But I want them to serve the Lord. Where are you in the mix? Are you the Abraham? Did your dad not really care about the Lord? And so you're the one that's being that Abraham. If you are, be him. Set that. Be the man that says yes. Maybe you're the guy in between. Maybe you're the Isaac. Maybe your dad was just like a rock. But you can't know what's beyond him. If you're the Isaac, don't have a middle child syndrome deal, okay? Some of you are middle children, and you can do that in your family. But when it comes to godly things, if your parents were the God of Abraham, you be the God of Isaac. And your kids underneath you, you just say, come on, we got to keep going. We can't stop this. And if you're the one who's the Jacob in the room, I don't think you understand the privilege, the awesome privilege that you have in falling of the line of generation of godly men and women. You should be thankful, but I just don't think you truly grasp. I mean, if you look in your lineage and if your great-great-grandpa served the Lord and your great-grandpa served the Lord and your grandpa served the Lord and your father served the Lord and now you're serving, you come into a great thing that you need to say, thank you, God, and you need to keep moving with that. Just call up your dad if he's still around and say, thanks for serving the Lord. Where are you at? Are you the Abraham? Are you the Isaac? Are you the Jacob? Wherever you're at, serve the Lord wholeheartedly. As you trust in the Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May he embolden you just like he did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he can be your God as well. He is not the God of dead, but he is the God of the living. Live for him. May each one in your heritage worship him because of your undying love for the Lord. May each one in the generations that come after you, may they look up to you and say, I want to serve the same God that they served, who is faithful to the very end. And if you're a dad in the room, may you be a man that follows after the Lord. I had somebody mention this to me after the service, and he said this. He said, one of the things our nation needs, didn't get it quite exactly correct, but one of the things our nation needs is godly men and godly fathers to step up. And so if you're a man in the room, if you have children, then be a godly father. If you don't have children, you be a godly man. And I believe if that happens, things happen in our nation. May God bless you as a dad, and may he prepare us for things to come. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each of you. Oh God, thank you for each male that's in this room. Thank you for allowing them to be a male. Some of those males are dads. And God, I just pray for those dads. They walk out of here, whether they be an Abraham, an Isaac, or a Jacob, they would say yes to you. And God, I pray for those young men who are just down the hall here. Those men, those young men who are sitting in a Sunday school classroom or a nursery. Oh God, would you help those young men to grow up to love and honor and serve you? May there just be a righteousness about them. As they look to men who are their dads who are in this room, or men who are not even their dads but who serve you, may they just say, I want to be like that guy because he serves God. I think of the boys that are to come and the girls that are to come in our congregation. Several of our ladies are expecting, and I think of those expectant little lives. Oh God, may they grow up and may they be ones that serve and follow after you. God, would you help us to continue to trust in you, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who individually were called. May we be ones that follow after you. Thank you for each of the ladies that are here today. May they not neglect this passage, but may they say yes to you, and may they see that yes, if they follow after you, others will follow as well. So God, go before us, give us a good Father's Day, and may you encourage our hearts all this week. And we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.